We're in this series called Margin. So turn to your neighbor and say, Margin. And Margin was created with a goal in mind. The goal is, as per what the tagline says, creating space for a bigger life. We wanted Margin to be the endemic series because we wanted people to relook life. Something about pandemic has rearranged life for a lot of us. And we not only want you to be able to rearrange life so that you have space for you to do the things that you want to do, but more than that, you create space to live a bigger life. And maybe we kind of have a framework what a bigger life is all about, okay? So today, we kind of end the series with the Margin to Dream. I wanted to take some time to talk about and sometimes how life gets so cluttered that we have no capacity to dream at all. We have lost that. We just are driven by our daily routine. We have no capacity to imagine. And so I want to take that space back, and you never know. Sometimes it's just a 5 minutes. Sometimes it's just a couple of, just that moment, and God will speak through those moments and change your life and my life, okay? From a pictorial way, every one of us is familiar that our life is like a jug. And if you put in all the big stone in your life, then you are able to put the rest of the sand, right? But if you only put sand, if your life is defined by how much social media you get yourself engaged in, if those are the big stone in your life, then you don't really have a lot of space for a lot of other important things. So in this series, our anchoring verse, which you read together, one to go, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having in all things at all time you may abound in every good work. We wanted a verse to capture the margin that we had in mind. And I think the way we framed the margin was it all begins with "for God is able." And I think that's the beginning point. It's not so much of your discipline, it's not so much of your ability, it's not so much of your skill, it's not so much of your multitasking kind of a mentality, but it really begins with God is able, and we wanted that is the beginning point. And because God is able, and He gives us all grace, and that is the God part, all sufficiency is the way we have to wrestle and have a conversation within ourselves, then in all things and all time, we will abound in every good work. That means we always have space, no matter what season of life that we go through, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you have a full-blown family, whether you are a new dad, whether you are an experienced dad, whether you are going through life, most stretching moment, there is always space for us to be abound in every good work. And at least that's the way Paul captured it and wanting to encourage all of us. So in this series, Margin, this is what we covered. We began with relational margin. We wanted that to be the first layer because we wanted us to create space so that space for relationship. And the relationship first begins with you and God and you yourself, you your spouse, you your family and others. We wanted us to create space, not for more businesses, that you will create space for relationship, which is the most important thing in our life. Then we talk about financial margin. We talk about personal margin, your schedule, your rest, your Sabbath. Then we talk about emotional margin. As usual, Eugene did an outstanding job last weekend. And I wanted to end with the margin to dream. I wanted a message to tie the entire series together. And I wanted to use the concept that we need to create space so that we are able to dream and imagine. All right, let me just jump into that. I just want you to know that I'm going to talk, first of all, just generically about dreams and imagination. Then I want to take a biblical lens and help us to narrow down a bit. Okay, so just kind of walk with me, journey with me, and flow along with my thoughts. Okay, the family words for dream is imagination, faith, vision. I'm going to use that synonymically. That means that I may use this and so it doesn't matter, but that is the capacity to dream, to imagine. Passion for something that is not there. And oftentimes we don't know what dream is all about. Dream is actually something that you wonder, and what if, and if you were to do this, would that, and it is that capacity that I'm talking about. So I'm not talking about a mysterious kind of a dream that you need to have, and no. I'm just talking about a desire for something that, what's the next thing, kind of that desire. It's what we call a sensational or passionate attachment to a preferred future. You know, the world that we live in today, it is a result of someone's dream. It is a result of someone's imagination. The car that we drove, that we drive, the plane that you sat on, was because someone dreamt of what, they look at bird and they say, what if we can fly like the bird? And that's where the, was it the German brothers or something like that, the Wright brothers, you know, and they kind of kickstart the entire process. The phone that we use today was a result of someone had a preferred future in mind. So if you can remember phone, when phone was created, you are able to dial the phone. That is such a huge telecommunication breakthrough. And then people realized that the thing I don't like about the phone was I need to be there and talk. Then the first breakthrough was the long cord phone. You know, you can have the phone and you can talk in the kitchen with a cord, right? And I know some of us don't know how to imagine that, okay? But that is when they sort out the communication signal and it can go long. And people were very happy. They can go toilet, talk on the phone. They can, you know, everywhere they go. Then someone realized that having a long cord phone, it's not people, because children can trip, you know, all those. Then they have what we call the cordless phone. Right? And then people say, what if the cordless phone can go out from the house and eventually you got the mobile phone? And then obviously the mobile phone, the first generation, was huge. It wasn't very mobile. It was a weapon. It was a self-defense mechanism, in all honesty, more than the phone, okay? Even the dog also sees, also scared, okay? And then eventually someone shrink it to be a mobile phone, right? A small, cute looking, before eventually Steve Jobs and others, because of one button away, created what we have today an iPhone. So the world is literally a result of someone's imagination and dream. Everything, the car that you drive, and I know for a lot of you, you are dreaming towards a day where your job is to sit in the car, press the button, it drives you there on by itself. How many of you would like that? Okay, not all of you. So when it comes, right, please continue to drive your whatever, okay? By then, the car exam, you know, the is to for you to be able to press button, that's all. That's all. Oh, pass, okay? And because that's the capacity of dream. Dream and imagination is what literally shaped the world. If I take it to humanity, I think about Martin Luther King, who had a dream of equality, same as Nelson Mandela. And he fought for that dream. He had a preferred future. Drives him passionately. He dreams about it. He wakes up. He thinks about it. He puts in the effort. And eventually, he had what we had today, where people are treated equally. You don't have to step into a restaurant and if you're this color, you go to the left, or you go to the door and this is this color. You don't have that, right? It's all because of a dream. When I look at a young politician in our nation, they had a dream. They had a dream to bring Malaysia to a better justice system, so to speak. And it's all about dreams and that space to imagine. The world is literally shaped by that. When one dreams, it motivates our passion. So you talk to a dreamer, there is no end. They keep on talking and talking and talking because they've got so much there is in them. It directs our step. It tells us, what's next? How should I move forward? And finally, it creates the new reality. It's a true story. 1955, Disneyland was built in LA. 1966, Mr. Walt Disney passed away. 5 years later, 1971, was the inauguration or the launch of Disney World in Florida. You know, a side joke that I always tell is when Joel, my first son, was very young, we brought him to Disneyland. And about 9 years ago, we brought our whole entire family, except Joanna. Am I correct? Did Joanna go? Oh, okay. Yeah, she did. My apology, okay? Okay, she better don't hear that, okay? Censored, okay? So anyway, we went as a family to Florida and Disney World. And just before we entered into the Disney World, we were, you know, on a boat and the captain came to my son and says, have you been to Disney World? And all my kids say, no. And Joel say, yes, I've been, okay? And I look at my son, he says, did you know the car park of Disney World is as big as Disneyland? When he said that, all my kids go, wow, that's Disney World. 1971, when it was built and launched, the reporter who was sitting beside Mrs. Walt Disney looked at Mrs. Disney and said that, "My apology that Mr. Disney didn't get to see all this that's happening." And Mrs. Walt Disney turned around and looked at the reporter and adjusted and corrected him. And she said this, "You were wrong. Because he saw, thus it became a reality." The world is literally shaped by people who feel, who saw, who imagine, who dream. And sometimes in life, as we grow older, we kind of lose that. I want to encourage us, create margin to dream. Create margin to imagine. Helen Keller, which lost her sight when she was 19 months and became a prolific author, a brilliant thinker, activist for the disabled, lecturer. In fact, actually, she became a political personnel as well. She wrote this little phrase. She said, "The only thing worse than being blind, which who she is having sight but no vision." He says that is what distinguishes between just people who have sight and people who don't. It's your vision. It's the ability to dream. And I hope I kind of whet your appetite a little bit. Someone once said that the graveyard is the richest place. It is full of people's dreams that were never fulfilled. And that's just the reality. Okay, now, so I kind of help you to get into the gear of thinking. Space to dream. Space to imagine. All right, now, I want to move on to a little bit of a biblical framework about dreams. When God created heaven and earth, obviously God is a dreamer. God is a brilliant, I mean, look at the world. You know that God had some of the wildest imagination. You look at the animals, you look at the amount. I was watching a documentary about ocean and how human only explored 5% of the ocean at best. And there's 95% of ocean we haven't explored. We can't even go to the deepest of the deep. And up to, I think the recent discovery was up to like how many thousand feet they found a fish that they brought up to the surface. It melted. It just melted. And it was so amazing. And the amount of possibility because of God's wildest imagination when he created the world. It was so beautiful. The color, the everything was all. Then the Bible says God gave us the ability. He made us in his image. He then gave Adam and Eve and every one of us the ability to imagine. Which is why the first task for Adam was to name the animals. If Adam doesn't have the ability to imagine, he would name animal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He would just go mathematically. But because he had the ability to imagine, he created names that is meaningful. And that is why we have all this capacity. So God created us to imagine is God-like in many capacities. And Joel chapter 2, 28, very interestingly, there's a verse, and it says here, "There will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dreams." Obviously, this is not a debate whether you're dream, you're old, you know, this is not a debate, okay? And we're not talking about that kind of a dream as well, we're talking about a capacity to imagine. He says, "Your young men will see vision." I want to say this, a dream is a clear imprint of the Holy Spirit activities in our life. I honestly believe that when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we activate the capacity to dream even more. Which means that if someone is so filled with the Holy Spirit, there has to be some godly capacity in them to dream. There has to be something in them that just dream beyond their circle of life. Something, they have this activation that, what if this, what if that? There has to be. Because a spirit-inspired life seems to have that. That's what the Bible says. Dreams are common. Holy Spirit languages, God speaks to dreams. And you go through Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Gideon, and all of that. They got stories about the dreams they had with God. All right? Now, let me take this a little bit to the way Jesus said it. And I love this, okay? Jesus, and I call this margin to dream, the kingdom dream. So it's one thing to know that all of us had the capacity to dream. But just because we have the capacity to dream doesn't mean we will always dream godly dream. One of my conversation I had with someone from our church who is no longer here, who is now overseas, but this person got saved in our church. A couple of months later, went for Victory Weekend. It was in Victory Weekend. We were sitting down just before his ministry session. I will never forget the conversation. It was three people. We were sitting down. Then I asked this particular young man. He's about 21, 22 years old. I said, what would you like to do, you know, as you, in your life? What's your dream? And then he said this. He says, Pastor, actually, my dream is to create the most experiential pornographic movie. And I was shocked. I think the other leaders that were there almost fell down from the chair. And then I always act cool, right? I said, oh, okay. I said, how did you derive that? You know, how is that? So he began to tell me, he says, you know, and to him, it wasn't wrong. To him, it was, I grew up, and he talked about 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. He grew up with pornographic material on the table, in the TV, the dad. And he says, I grew up with that. And I always wanted to create this virtual reality for the pornographic world. He had a dream. We have to then walk through with him to understand what is morally right, wrong, you know, for him to eventually have to sort that space out in him. So I know that this capacity to dream is given to all of us, but we potentially don't think about kingdom dream. And I want to kind of bring you, as I talk about this capacity to dream, to bring it in the kingdom capacity. Now, so this is how Jesus said it. So Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he says this little phrase, which you read together. He says, your kingdom come. And then he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which means when Jesus had the capacity to dream, he don't dream the dream that he wants. He wants to dream the dream that belongs to the kingdom of God. He desire what is of God, what is in heaven, happen on earth. And that pretty much directed the steps of Jesus, which is why when he was on earth, there were so many people wanted a dream for Jesus. They wanted to make Jesus the king of all Israel, but he was very clear, that's not what I want. I want kingdom come on earth, as he was very clear. He's always think on earth as it is heaven. So when he walked in to the temple and he saw people were selling things instead of honoring God, allowing the poor to come in to seek God, he got so upset. He chased everybody away because he understood the mind of Heavenly Father. He wanted on earth as it is in heaven on that day. Are you with me? When he stood at the cross, he knew that on earth as it is in heaven, this needs to happen so that he brings salvation to all. So he had this imagination that a lot of disciples, people wanted to replace it, but he was very clear that he wanted to dream and imagine of a day. And you will find that there's a particular verse, which is this verse. Oh, no, which is the next verse, okay? How do I skip the video to go to the next verse? Can I go to the next verse first? Do I press? Okay, anyway, I'm talking to myself. Yes, praise God, okay? So here it is. I want to talk about a dream moment that Jesus had, Matthew 8. Matthew 8 was a brilliant story because Jesus met a centurion. By the way, if you ever studied centurion in the Bible, you find that every centurion was remarkably vessel and instrument for the kingdom of God. It was a very interesting study. This is one of them. This might be the first one, actually. When Jesus saw the centurion who told him he had a servant who was sick, then Jesus said, okay, I'll go. And then the centurion said, no, you don't need to go. He says, you just speak your word, because he's a man of authority. He says, Jesus, if you speak with authority, he says, my servant will be healed. Jesus was amazed and astounded by his faith. Then Jesus said this, okay? So he was marveled. He said to those who follow him, he says, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel, I found such a man. And then he went on. And I imagine when Jesus went on to, before he made a statement, he took a pause. Because his imagination comes in. He says, I tell you. He says, many will come from the east. And then he looked towards the east. You know, I think he saw every one of us. He saw myself, he saw Susan, he saw Rachel, he saw Thomas, Esther. He says, because we're from the east, he says, many will come. He saw just a whole bunch of people. And then he says, many will come from the west. And then he saw Ben, he saw Noma, he saw the westerners, you know, he saw all of them. He says, they will recline at the table together with Abraham, Isaac in the kingdom of heaven. And that, I think, was that little glimpses of Jesus having that little moment of seeing both. Now, let me tie all this together, talking about dreams. You know, some of you are aware that this year we planted a church in Rimbayu, and then we planted a church in Setapak. Then we just finished renovation for our Sunway, where we are planning to do weeknight service for campus students. And it was just 5 minutes walk away from campus. In fact, we time it. If you walk slow, 4 minutes, 50 seconds. If you walk a bit fast, 4 minutes or less. We wanted to be only 5 minutes away, and we wanted to target campus students on a weeknight. We don't know how it's all going to be like, but we already have a good group of about 20 over 30, 30 plus of them that is actually based there, and we are attempting to reach out to campus students. If God is willing, we are believing God for the month of August, we will kickstart one in Cheras. All this came about was because there were margin to dream. So during pandemic, we were thinking, what if we created based on the population, what's the word? Demographic, that's right. And what if we just created a place where people get together, and by then we thought about watching. We just don't know whether the days of big gathering will be back. And it all started with that, right? Wildest imagination. So we got targeted about 8 different locations. We think that these are possible. We had a few criteria, near college, where young families potentially are, new housing area. So we had a few criteria. In fact, I talked to Jonathan. Jonathan refused CEO. You know, I said, could you just help piece together for me? So he pieced together for me kind of the distribution of it. And we prayed through and we wanted. And it all started with that. But as days goes by, then we say, what about we do a church plan? You know, there are a lot of things that we do. It all started with dreams. The dialogue that we do every week, it was just wildest imagination. I don't think there's any church in the world actually does it. Did you know? And I wanted to do it was because I thought during pandemic, people won't listen to message because people will be cooking, scolding children. And then while the message is on, you know, and then maybe with a interaction, then people will at least listen and then ask questions. And it was just wanting people before it turns out to be what we have today. Something about why imagine. I just got back from Alostar. We are not starting a church as of now, but if organically as we grow, we will. It started with a few people watching us online. And then one day, as all this information come to my table, I said, why don't we do an Alostar Discovering God version? Lu Zai Ju Ju Si Sin Bo. Okay. U Sin Bo Sin, Bo Tao Sin. Okay, anyway. So here am I, right? So we did a Discovering God, Alostar version, and a couple got saved and few sort of reconnected back to God. And then I met up with them. Then we did a second round of Discovering God. Then another group of them came, which is why I went to Alostar just to meet up, fly in, fly out. And now in the month of July, we're going to kickstart a live group. And one person offered the house can sit about 30 to 40 people. So we're going to go organically, no rush. But it all began with the margin to dream. And of course, it's more than just, it's you know, when you have that margin to dream, you walk, you know, I grew up from Alostar, right? But when you had the margin to dream, everything looks different. Every conversation sound different. Every person that you meet creates a different memory in you. Someone that we met, we know he's kind of by himself, and my heart goes out to them. And when we were there, we met some of the who's who there. Some of them was the owner of a string of sports car. And when I found out where he is at the season of life, I feel for him. And I don't know how will all these dots connect. I really don't know. But it all begins with the margin to dream. So I want you to know that's all how it began. Now, so I talk a little bit from a church point of view. Let me zoom it down to individual. To zoom it down to individual, I think the best story I can think of today to bring that out was really this person called Sik Mei. Some of you may not know her. Sik Mei, it is the most common, unassuming kind of a person. She's not charismatic. She is not like, you know, some of us full of charisma, flair. She's not. She's something that's extremely very simple, very timid, very soft-spoken. I met Sik Mei in 2017, December. I think that was the first time she came to church. Then I invited her to join Discovering God. 2018, she came for Discovering God. She then got saved. When I met Sik Mei, Sik Mei will tell me, I'm not too sure, is she here today? I know she was in Kuantan yesterday during our leadership conversion. And I want you to watch the part of a video, and then I'll come back and finish the story.
Hi, my name is Sik Mei. I'm from Every Nation Church Malaysia, and this is my harvest story. I was saved at the end of 2018 after discovering God. Through Christ, my chains were broken and God delivered me out of wilderness. His love and word are so real to me. And the reality of who God is naturally prompted me to share His love with others. So I tried reaching out to my family and those God have put around me. In 2019, I had a chance to reconnect with my ex-colleague from CEO Fitness. He attended Discovering God and was saved after a year. A year later in 2020, I reconnected with another ex-colleague at a wedding dinner. God is so good. Her heart opened and she attended Discovering God, and she was saved last year, August, and will be baptized in January this year. Besides this, I had the privilege to lead one of my ex-colleagues back to God as well. Then, in November 2020, I was asked by Pastor Tim and Teresa to lead a life group. I hesitated because that year I lost two of my relatives to cancer and stroke. But in that journey, I saw how lost and uncertain one can be in the mix of pain and love. So I decided to step up to be a leader, knowing there are many who are in need and that I can make a difference in their lives. In 2021, I started a new LG with the help of Pastor Tim and Teresa. I am a new leader, but one thing that I have experienced is seeing others' lives changed, and that has continued to inspire me to serve and to see many more lives touched by God. In reflection, I realized that each and every one of us can have a harvest story. The beginning point might be a simple question of who did God put in your life? For me, it was my three ex-colleagues and the people who crossed my path that I can be a light to.
All right, would you give a hand to Sik Mei? Very simple story, right? So I wanted to share her story was because she's a very new Christian. And part of it is because I have a dream. And I wanted to raise more leaders. So in 2021, I asked Sik Mei to actually step up to be a leader. And she was struggling. She says, Pastor, I'm not ready. That was the end of 2020. In 2021, she said, I promise you, Pastor, 2021, I will be. Then she said, Pastor, can it be 2021? I think June or September, she said, then only I can be ready. I said, no. I said, can. Why don't we start in March after Chinese New Year? Tong 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 chiang, you know what I mean? And she said, sure, no, Pastor, can I? Sure, can I? So of course, I know she's going to impact life. And today in her life group, she has two medical doctors. She has our clinical psychologist all in her life group. And they love her because she's such a servant. But she just came back from our victory weekend 2 weeks ago. And when she came out from Victory Weekend, she texted me a personal text. She said, Pastor Tim, I just want to thank you for all that you've done. And then she said, I'm praying that God will create more margin in my life so that I can serve others. So I then called Sik Mei, which led to today's story. I said, Sik Mei, try me to understand. When you said you wanted to create more margin, what was in your heart? What was your thought process? And then this is what she said. So I asked her to kind of capture it in two ways. One is what's in her heart, and what is in her heart, and what is something that she will do. So this is what she said. Okay, sorry. My notes went slipping. Okay, so I said, what's in your heart? So she said this, okay? She said, Pastor, whenever I meet a friend that do not know the hope that one can have in Jesus, she says, I feel for them. And she said, whenever I know of someone that's in need, I will immediately make time for them to have a conversation. And to be able to know, he says, whenever I do that, I pray like crazy. I ask God to give me words so that I will say things that will warm a person's heart. Then she said, one thing that I've changed is I become very sensitive to words that people say. I don't mean the hurt one. He says, I may go around life and people tell me that they're in need. And I used to brush it off and say, that's life, Lord. But now, she says, I no longer do that. I take every word, every emotion, that what they say, and I ask myself, what can I do? She said, I'll text them. I'll find a Bible story to match it. And then, this is what I like best. She said, oftentimes, she could not sleep until she responded and reached out to that particular friend. And then she went on to tell me, Pastor, I've got this. 6-7 friends that she's believing that God will use her to bridge the love of God unto them. You know, all of this came about was because you must have space to dream. You must create that space. I know this service sounded like, Pastor, let's make disciples. Yes, it is. But this is way bigger than that. So I don't know what capacity of dream that you will have. I got one business owner that I remember clearly, vividly the story. He talked about how after he gives salary, as he leaves his office or as he looked down from his window, he will see a bunch of his staff lining up to pay the along. And one day he thought about, on earth as it is in heaven, is that what God wants? So as a business owner, he created a loan system and cut off our loan, so long our loan, so that he helps the staff to regain back their financial. So I'm talking beyond just reaching out. I'm talking about what is the kingdom dream that God has put in your heart. Maybe some of you have lost that. Some of you is life in, life out. Meal in, meal out. Movie in, movie out. And you lost that capacity. You lost what it means to feel. You lost what it means to imagine. I want to take that back. I want you to take it back. And says, God, what do you want me to do? What is something godly that you put? It could be in your taman. It could be in your company. It could be in your neighbor. I don't know. But I want to end with this quote. David Brennan, which is the one that was so driven to reach out to the Red Indian community. If you ever read a biography, David Brennan was a brilliant, brilliant story. Died very young. Till today, people will go to his graveyard and remember what he did. So he said this. He said, I care not where I go or how I live or what I endure so that I may save souls. When I sleep, I dream of them. When I awake, they are first in my thought. Remember Psalms 139, Jesus says, David wrote about God. He says, you have, the thoughts you have for me are so plenty like sand in the castle. He says, when I'm awake, I know you think about me. I pray as we bring margin to a close, we will create space for the things that God will put in your heart and in my heart to do. And I know as a church, we're on a journey. We're believing God for church planting. We're believing God that we're able to reach. And I hope Lee, that came 7:40 a.m. this morning, will eventually be someone that get to say yes to God and take on that journey together with us. The margin to dream. Would you stand? We're not going to come to the table of the Lord. We're not going to rush to dialogue. We can do it in our dreams. Sorry, dad's joke. But honestly, I hope it inspires you to kind of take back a portion that maybe you have lost, you have left it, as you come to the table of the Lord. You know, one thing I really love God is because He thinks of me and He thinks of you. I cannot get over the fact that He left heaven to be on earth and to die at that cross. And for the rest of eternity, the mark of the cross will be on that particular man and God called Jesus. Forever. And that's because He thought of you and me. So as we take this bread and cup, as we sing the song, "The Lord is One," I want you to not only love God for what He has done, I want you to take a step forward and say, "God, would You help me to love people who do not know You? Would You help me? Would You put a kingdom dream in my heart so that I will live my life space and margin for others?" I'm going to pray, we'll partake, and then we'll worship God together. Lord, I'm so grateful to You. I hold in my hand the bread and the cup, which is really You and the story and the narrative of the cross and a God who loves us. So as we partake this, give us margin and space to do what is on earth as it is in heaven every day of our life. We thank You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Let's partake the bread. Let's partake the cup. Let's worship God.
Holy Spirit, Son, Father, three in one, Your counsel my delight. Call